We're looking at Pachad Yitzchak for Pesach, and we'll start with Maimer Nun. And Maimer Nun begins with a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. The pasuk in the seventh parak of Shir HaShirim says, "Ma yofu pa'mayich bana'olim bas nidiv." And there's an emphasis here on the word ne'olim, referring to shoes. And the Gemara in Chagiga says, Kamanoim Ragleim Shel Yisrael, that this pasuk is expressing a shevach to Klal Yisrael, Bishah Sha'olim L'Regel. And the word Nidiv, says the Medrash, and the Gemara also in Chagiga, says, Bas Nidiv, Bito Shel Avram Avinu Shenikra Nidiv. Avram Avinu is called the Nidiv. He's the magnanimous one. And Klal Yisrael are being praised here for Aliyah L'Regel. It would seem from the equation here, the analogy of the Chachamim, that the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel somehow relates to the Nidivus, that Midah, that attribute of being magnanimous, which we inherit from Avraham Avinu. And it's a little bit unclear, how do we understand this? Why should there be any connection between Aliyah L'Regel, the emphasis in the Reisha, the Pasuk of Pa'amayich bin Olim, and the Bas Nediv, Klal Yisrael, as the daughters of Avraham Avinu, who is the Nediv? If we can find some connection between the two, that would certainly shed a light on this Gemara in Chagiga. We could have understood that the subject here of this matter is the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel per se. And the Na'al that's mentioned here in this Pasuk is somehow a nickname, if you will, for the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. But perhaps we can find a Medrash Chazal elsewhere which sheds a light on this Gemara in Chagiga. You know, there's a principle with Divrei Torah Aniyim B'Makom Zeh V'Ashirim B'Makom Acher. Sometimes you find elsewhere a Maimer Chazal which sheds light on a more ambiguous statement in Chazal. In one place it's Sasum, in another place it's more Mefurash. So we want to relate to a Medrash Chazal in Parshas Lech Lecha. In the story of the Malachim and the battle against Sdom, there Avraham Avinu makes a declaration, in Michut V'Atzroch Nal, he refuses to take anything from Sdom, from Melech Sdom, any gifts. And Chazal and the Medrash say, Bizchus Sha'omar Avraham Avinu Michut V'Atzroch Nal Zocha L'Nal Shel Olei Regolim. We see here a connection between Aliyah L'Regel and Avraham Avinu's refusal to take anything from Sdom, to enjoy any benefits from Melech Sdom as a result of the Milchama. And the emphasis here in this Medrash is on the Na'al, Michut V'ad Sroch Na'al. And furthermore, according to the Medrash, it would seem that there's a connection between the Na'al of Aliyah L'Regel and the Nedivus of Avraham Avinu. And what does that mean, the Nedivus of Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu refuses to receive from Melech Sdom even a Na'al. And why? That is a development, an evolvement from the Midah of Nedivus of Avraham Avinu. What does that mean? The Na'al of Olei Regolim is, by the way, not a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah. The mitzvah is to come into the Beis HaMikdash, bring the Korban. It's not the Na'al. And in truth, there would be no difference as far as the mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel, where you wore a Na'al, you came barefoot. And the flip side of it, you know, not only do we find it confusing to understand the connection between the Na'al and the Aliyah L'Regel, but we find it difficult and confusing to relate the refusal of Avraham Avinu to receive anything from the king of Sodom to the midah of nedivus of Avraham Avinu. The maisa of vitur, when Avraham Avinu waives any sort of collection of finances from someone, that could be, in some cases, you talk about a vitur of ava, of kumvasei, you know, out of a sense of goodness, out of a sense of compassion, I want to be magnanimous, then I'm a vater on something. But there is also a different type of vitur that doesn't emanate from ava, but rather from yira, which seems to be much more appropriate to the case, the scenario of Melech Sodom. That is a vitur of Shevi Al Taseh, to be Poresh Min Hara. You know, the Ramban, in his interpretation in Parshas Yisro of Zochar V'Shomer V'Dibur Echad, he talked the two dimensions of Shabbos. He speaks about Ava as the source for Kumvaseh, Yira as the source for Sur Meira, for Shevi Al Taseh. Now, if we talk about the Midah of Avraham Avinu as the Midah of Ava, the midah of Zrizus, you know, Avraham Avinu in a certain sense is the paradigm of alacrity, of someone who with zealous enthusiasm runs after a mitzvah. And the Maseilas Yesharim is famous for writing that Zrizus is part of Asei Tov, although there's another type of Zrizus, the flip side of Sur Meira. When we talk about the Zrizus of Avraham Avinu, we usually speak about the Zrizus of Asei Tov, the Nedivus of Avraham Avinu, which is connected to Aliyah L'Regel, must be some sort of unique, or shall we say, high profile midah of the essence of Avraham Avinu. We talk about Nedive Amim. There's a pasuk in Tehillim Mem Zayin that we're familiar with for before Tkiyah Shofar. Nedive Amim Nesafu Am Elokei Avram. And the Gemara Chagiga says, Lo Elokei Yitzchak Velo Elokei Yaakov. This drasha, this statement of the Gemara in Chagiga, would certainly indicate that the Nedivus of Avram Avinu, which is so unique to him, is that midah of Ava, of Kumvaseh, of Nedivus of sharing with people. That's the Madrega of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is called a Nediv. He was the beginning of bringing Gerim close to Klal Yisrael. And it's a little bit odd that when we talk about the Nedivus of Avraham Avinu in the context of the Pasuk of Olei Regel, again the Pasuk which is Darash of Olei Regel, we connect it to Melech Sodom. I mean, that's, you know, the vitur there doesn't seem to be a vitur of Ava. He's not giving anything to anyone. He just refuses to take Al Tzira, Al Sur Meira. So what's that all about? But perhaps we have to suggest that the refusal of Avraham Avinu to receive even a Nal from the king of Sodom is a gilui, it's a revelation of that attribute of Nedivus of Avraham Avinu, not as a pure case of Sur Meira, but somehow to relate it to, you know, Avraham Avinu's essential Nedivus, which is Asei Tov. That's very difficult to, you know, again, that seems to be what we want to derive here, but how do you maintain such a position? And perhaps we should speak about, as he calls it, a pu'ula asher mibchinasa hamasis omedesi b'kav ha'shevi altaseh shel nezirus v'zehirus u'b'chol zot b'bchinas or ha'nefesh sher b'toch harehi omedes b'kav kumvaseh shel amshocha uzrizus. Again, the language here is very challenging. But he seems to suggest the following, that although if you look at the action on the outside, externally, the way it's being performed, it would certainly seem to be an expression of kumvaseh, But to appreciate that outward expression and interpretation of the action as kuvase, you'd have to look a little bit deeper below the surface, because again, on the surface, if you ask us, you know, simply, intuitively, what motivates Avraham Avinu in this scenario, in this context, to refuse Melech Sodom's, you know, magnanimous offer, and Avraham Avinu is not even willing to take a nal, you know, it would seem on the surface level to be a Shevi Altas, as we discussed earlier, but somehow, if we peel off the outer layers, below the surface, it is a kumvase. It somehow emanates from Zrizus. As we saw before, Zrizus is the kumvase, you know, actively pursuing a mitzvah. So Pachen Yitzchak suggests that in order to understand this, we need to learn a Gemara in Nazir, a very famous Gemara about Yael. That's on Chav Gimel Amid Beis, Gedola, Avera Lishma, Mi mitzvah shelo lishma. And Yael gives us a mitzvah self to be'ilu at Sisro as an aver lishma. The Gemara asks, how can you praise that aver lishma? Doesn't she benefit? She has some sort of pleasure from the action? And the Gemara answers, tovasan shel rishayim rahi etzel tzadikim. Now, in all mitzvahs and actions that a person performs, and he's obligated to do so, as opposed to avera lishma, the obligation is not diminished by the hana. Because we have a principle of mitzvah savlenos. Even if a person, at the moment that he fulfills his obligation, he gets benefit from it, that doesn't detract from his mitzvah. And even if he were to do the action and make an explicit declaration that he wants the benefit from it, okay, he doesn't have the mitzvah on the purest level, but nevertheless, he was mekayim the mitzvah. If we derive from Yael that there's an aver lishma as a kiyum mitzvah, it's even greater than a mitzvah shelo lishma. So what she did was a mitzvah. Who cares if she also at the same time had some side pleasure? That shouldn't be mafkir the mitzvah. And yet, if the Gemara asks, what are we going to do here in this case that she had anah? And the Gemara answers again, whatever the Gemara answers. But we see from this a very important conclusion that when we talk about an aver lishma, it has a different definition, a different gedder to it. It's not a kiyum mitzvah in the classical sense, but since the gufa maisa, if we isolate the maisa in and of itself, forgetting about the kavanos and the intention and the ultimate objective, but the maisa, if isolated, is an avera, that action per se is an avera, it doesn't lose that status as an avera. It's only when we add the kavana, the ultimate intention and the purpose of this maisa, that's what injects the Torah's mitzvah into the maisa, that we need. The maisa has to have a total, pure, 100% kavana. The intention has to be without any negiyah whatsoever. And such a mitzvah, such an avera lishma, qualifies as a mitzvah. So with regard to any other mitzvah in the Torah, certainly we don't have to remove any negiyah, any benefits that a person has. But with regard to this particular kiyum mitzvah, in which we have to transform a maisa that begufo is a maisa vera into a maisa mitzvah, we can only do that, or shall I say to a kiyum mitzvah, we can only do that by setting up the maisa as a maisa mitzvah, and or again, as I say, the kiyum mitzvah. But if it's got any sort of negiyah, then it cannot tolerate that upgrade from a maisa vera to a mitzvah. It cannot be considered a mitzvah unless there's a total siluk of negiyah. And perhaps this would shed a light on the difference between ava and yira. When we speak about avoda, meaning serving Hashem, and we want to get within the context of avoda and aver lishma, to get that aver lishma, we can only achieve conversion or transformation of the Aveir Lishma to a mitzvah, as we said before in the name of the Ramban, the mitzvah saseh, the kima mitzvah is ava, and the observance and refraining from alosa says yira. In this case of an Aveir Lishma, we need, in an absolute precondition, yira, in order, as a precondition, as a stage one, in order to arrive at stage two of ava. Meaning, the sur meira is the precondition for the setting it up as an asei tov. The ava must borrow, in a sense, that utensil we call yira. And zrizus, which we call an expression or an emanation of ava, has to, in this case, sort of like push itself into a small opening. It has to fold itself up into the kli, into that utensil, that mode of behavior called zahirus, of being careful, of being yare. Without the yira, then you're in trouble over here, because the kumvase here could not be considered a mitzvah and a kiyum essay as ava without the shevi alta, so the precious and the siluk, in this case to be poresh, and to be misalik from any negia. So we need the yira as sur mira, as a precondition to achieve the ava of asei tov, of kumva asei, of a mitzvah, of a kima mitzvah. Without the siluk, without the removal, we cannot get the positive. Removing the negative, which means, in this case, hanos me'avera, has to be totally undermined in order to jump to the next level of kumvasei, of ava, that transforms the avera lishma into a kima mitzvah. And this should shed a very important light on the refusal of Avraham Avinu to receive even a nal from the king of Sdom. And why is that refusal of Avram related to the attribute of Nedivus, and specifically to that Nedivus which is unique to Avram Avinu? And the answer is because Avram Avinu was very careful not to benefit from the war, the destruction of the enemy. Avram Avinu knew that perhaps within the context, as Rashi points out, within the context of Harigas HaNefashos, that in this battle he destroyed human life, there might be an element of sin over here. He did it for the purpose, the ultimate goal of saving his nephew Lot, but in such a case where the Maisa per se is a Maisa Hariga, for the ultimate goal, the intention has to be for the sake of Hatzalah, in this case against Lot, the Yavoda has to pass through the channels of Siluk Negia, meaning in order to create a mitzvah out of this, you have to make sure that Avraham Avinu gets no benefits. If Avraham Avinu doesn't refuse, okay, that's a double negative, by refusing to receive any benefits from the booty of this Melchama from Melech Sdom, Avraham Avinu guarantees a Siluk Negia, that he has no benefits, then and only then can his behavior, his actions of Hariga, within the context of the military battle, be upgraded to a mitzvah act. Otherwise it remains a maisa vera per se, a chait unto itself. So it's Avraham Avinu's very, very meticulous care that comes from the midah of yira, of sur meira, of being misalik any negia. That itself is going to determine the very, very unique nature of Avram's removal and refusal, I should say, of receiving anything from Sdom. That is going to ultimately reach the level of the Av of Avraham Avinu. Afal pi shesiruv zeh afrashahi, even though if I isolate the refusal to receive any benefits from Sdom is an act of prisha, nevertheless, the prisha itself, the act of refusal, emanates from the ava. The ava means that Avraham Avinu wants to create a mitzvah of Hatzolas Lot. The Ava, again, is very paradoxical because here, in this context of the Melchama against the Dalet Melachim, the Ava and this Rizus, the enthusiasm of Avraham Avinu expressed itself in a military campaign of Harigas Nefashos. But all that has to be seen in the context of Hatzolas Lot. Lot was taken captive, and now he has to be saved. And that Ava is an extension of what we call Yirav, Prisha, of Sur Meirav, Siluk Nigia, don't give me anything. I don't want any benefits from this. That changes and transforms the entire nature of this Melchama into an Ava, into a Kiyuma Mitzvah. We're talking about a situation of, as Chazal say in Nazir, Gidola Avera Lishma. And perhaps with this introduction, we can swing back to our original question about the Nal of Aliyah L'Regel. The Mishnah establishes that a person is not allowed to enter into the Arabayis wearing a Nal. And I just want to quote to you the source for that. It's a Mishnah in Brachos, Daf Nun Dalid Amud Aleph. The Gemara has a whole discussion there, a few blot later, about the nature of this issue, of what's the problem of going with a Nal, and how does that impact on Beis HaKnesses. But the source for this Isur of walking into the Harabayis wearing these min'olim that are full of avak, that are full of dust, is the mitzvah of Mora Migdash, of being afraid of the Beis HaMikdash, of being in a state of awe and reverence towards the Beis HaMikdash, towards the Harabayis. Now, we can talk about the Ole Regel. The Ole Regel and that mitzvah is an expression of that Ava Yira relationship of Shevi Altaseh and Kumvaseh. Obviously, the impulse and the motivation of Aliyah L'Regel is pure Ava. Come to see the Ribono Shel Olam on the Harabayis, in his Beis HaMikdash. That's the Nedivus Lev that comes from Kumvaseh, from Ava, and is typical of Avraham Avinu. There's a Cheshek, there's a tremendous craving desire of every Jew, as David HaMelech formulates it so poetically in Tehillim Mem Beis, to answer, there's a rhetorical question, Masai Avo Viera Pnei Elokim, a desire, a tremendous craving to see the countenance of the Shekhinah. However, at the same time, to be very careful about the reverence, the prisha, the Shevi Altaseh that one has to have when he comes onto the Arbayis. Yes, he's eager, he's enthusiastic, with a great deal of love, to come and seek the countenance of Hashem. But wait a minute, you have to be very careful. And the Pasuk says, Mayafu Parmayach bin Olim. What does it mean, Mayafu Parmayach bin Olim? It means to be very careful, to be shomer, to be meticulous and careful about the regel of the nalayim, the avak hadrachim. You know, you take off your shoes because they might be full of dust. Again, you can go barefoot and you get the same mitzvah. But first, take off your shoes. And that's in order to avoid a violation of Mora Migdash. The Nal, therefore, becomes, in a certain sense, a framework for Yira. And that Yira, that fear, that reverence for the Beis HaMikdash and its sanctity, is really a conduit to Ava, to guarantee that the Aliyah L'Regel will have no element of violation of reverence, of Mora Migdash. It'll be pure Ava, pure Nedivus. And that's the same now that Avraham Avinu refused to accept from Melech Sdom. Avraham Avinu takes a neder, he won't have any benefit from this milchama. And why? Because through that precious of Sur Mirah, he will be able to achieve his nedivus, his kumvasei, his expression of ava, that his entire endeavor and his project to save Lot is a mitzvah, it's a gdola ver lishma situation. That same now is going to be bequeathed to the descendants of Avraham Avinu as the Nal of Oli Regolim, that unique integration of Yira and Ava. The Yira makes the Ava into a true, genuine Ava. The Sur Meiran, the Zehirus, the Prisha, is the precondition that is able to carve out an Ava Kumvaseh. These two Na'alim, the Na'al of Avraham Avinu's refusal, and the Na'al that's being removed by the Olei Regel, in order to be shomer, to be careful about the reverence to the Arabayis, these two Na'alim both testify to the ability of a Jew to light a menorah of Yirah. And from that menorah of Yirah, the Shalheves, the great flame of Ava, will burn strong. Mayafu Pamayech Ben Olim Vasnadu. We'll study now Maimar Nun Aleph, which is based on the Chazal in the Mishnah in Avos, Biasorah Mamoros, Nivra HaOlam. And we know that there are, to parallel the Asorah Mamoros, there are 10 Dibros that were given at our Sinai. And as a general rule, Ein gufa marocha shal asor maroros zecher l'shuminyin shal Torah mitzvos. In the asor maroros with which God created the world, there's no mention of any mitzvos. The mitzvos are left to the aseres hadibros, because we're talking about asor maroros of creation. We're talking about the material universe. But yet, every principle has a chutz, has an exception. And this is no exception. What is the exception? The Parsha of Moadim, in the Maimar of Yehi Ma'oros, the Moadim, it says that the Ma'oros are there to be Moadim, which means the mitzvah of Moed is really inherent in the Maimar of Yehi Ma'oros. And these are the Moedei Hashem that down the line, in the future, Moshe Rabbeinu will speak to Bnei Yisrael. So we see that there is an overlap with regard to one mitzvah between the Asar Mamoros and the Aseres HaDibros. And that means that there is a shtalshelus, some sort of development of Torah mitzvahs that's related directly to the Mamoros of creation. And that expresses itself at that intersect of the Moadim. And in order to analyze this, we want to start with the fact that there are two brisos. There are two covenants, as it were. There is the bris of Noach, which means the kium of Noach, of his bris. And there's the kium of bris Sinai, which is Divrei Torah, the 613 mitzvahs. And the pasuk says, we'll read the pasuk out loud. It says, Ode, this is after the Mabel Ode, Kol Yemei Haaretz, Zera V'Kotzir V'Kar, V'Kar V'Chom V'Kayitz, V'Choref, V'Yom V'Laila Lo Yishbosu. Now, as a general rule, when we take these two brisos and we compare them, we would assume that the second bris, namely Har Sinai, is built on top, like a second floor of a building, of the basic bris of Bnei Noach. Or perhaps we would say that the bris of Har Sinai is the inner, you know, below the surface depth of the bris of Noach. But whatever it is, there's no contradiction here between one bris and the other. Either one is an extension, or one is the inner, deeper meaning, the hub. But that's not really true, Because as we said before, every general rule has its exception, and here too, it's no exception. Because with regard to the Kedushas Hazmanim, we find a head-on collision between the Bris of Noach, that says, where is it? Yom V'Laila Lo Yishbosu, from which Chazal derive that Ben Noach Sheshavas Chayev Misa, and that's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Nun Chesam and Beis, Lo Yishbosu. It means that the Ben Noach is completely enjoined from observing the Moadim as we have them. That's our unique Atav Achartanu choice, and they cannot usurp that from us. Whereas the Bris of Sinai, of course, engenders a mitzvah of Shvisa, a Kedusha of Moed, for those who are part of that Bris. So even though, as a general rule, the Brit Sinai is, in a sense, an extension of the first Bris, and it's sort of a lofty and more extensive development of the first Bris, here, with regard to one particular point, namely Kedushas Hazmanim, the Bris Sinai comes along and completely nulls and voids the Bris of Ben Noach as far as the possibility of being Shoves. With regard to other mitzvahs, we don't find such a thing. We don't find that the mitzvah given to Yisrael completely nulls and voids the possibility of a Ben Noach to achieve or implement that mitzvah on a voluntary basis. Here, with regard to Moadim, there's no room for any sort of an optional voluntary mitzvah. It's absolutely forbidden. The Brit Sinai to Klal Yisrael completely undermines the possibility of any expression of Kedushas Hazmanim with regard to a Ben Noach. And Dafka, this inyan of Kedushas Hazmanim is the one subject matter, the one area which we find within the context of the Asara Ma'amoros, Shebehem Nivru Olam of Maisa Breishu. Here we find in the 10 Ma'amoros that one of the Ma'amoros is that these luminaries will differentiate between day and night, and then Yom V'Laila Lo Yishbosu, there won't be any Shvisa, completely excluding Shvisa. Why? Because that is the one area that, within the context of natural man, of the biological universe that was created with the Asar Ma'amoros, man is being excluded from Shvisa. He cannot take that area and sanctify it. So that Ma'ar, that luminary, we'll call it the sun, for example, is not allowed to change its tafkid, and with regard to Klal Yisrael, the future bris at Sinai, that ma'ar is going to engender a mitzvah of kvius, of shvisas ha-moadim, that we have to be kovei the moadim and establish them as days in which we do not engage in malacha, but rather with shoves. So the Lo Yishbosu of the Asar Ma'amoros of Yehi Ma'oros, that Lo Yishbosu negates or undermines the ability of the Brit of Noach. We'll call it the Bris of creation of the Asar Ma'amoros to express itself in a way that would usurp the Bris of Sinai. In a certain sense, the Pagan Yitzchak used the term, it's a pretty extreme term, the Churban of the Bris of Maisa Breishis. The Lo Yishbosu is sort of like a destructive element here, that there's no room for Shvisa, there's no room for Kedush Sazman. And the Brit Sinai is built on this Churban, and instead of the Lo Yishbosu, there's Vahayu Liosos Ulamoadim. So you read the parsha of the Asar, of the Ma'oros in the Asar Ma'oros in two ways, in the Reish and the Sefer. There's the Lo Yishbosu and the Vahayu Liosus Ulamoadim. The Lo Yishbosu says that because for the Brit Sinai that's down the line, there'll be Vahayu Liosus Ulamoadim, therefore, as far as the Bris of Maisa Breishis is concerned, Lo Yishbosu. And now perhaps we could shed a new light on the fact that the first mitzvah of the Torah given to Klal Yisrael is the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. Why Kiddush HaChodesh? And The Gemara tells us, based on the pasuk in Shmos Yud Beis, that Kiddush HaChodesh, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, is something that reflects on the very nature and unique status of Klal Yisrael. And the reason for this is because when Klal Yisrael come into all mitzvahs, which means their special Kedusha, it wasn't that they would come into mitzvahs through some mitzvah that would be, in a sense, a tosefes, you know, a second koma, as we said before, an extension of Bris Noach, you know, this Bris Noach, and now add another mitzvah. No, that's what it is. But rather, we're talking about a particular mitzvah which represents the prisha, the removal of the original Bris. It's antithetical to the original Bris, because the original Bris was excluded from HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. That mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh is not just saying that the mitzvah HaTorah of Taryag are additional mitzvahs. But no, it means a lot more. The tzivui of Kiddush HaChodesh means that the same ma'oros that were part of the creation of the Bris with Noach now serve to prevent a shvisa, a kiyum mo'adim with regard to Bnei Noach. And that itself is going to be the source, the root of the mitzvah of kviyus kedushas ha-mo'adim. This is really, in a sense, the existential source of the wonderful, unique nature of those who are dedicated to the Avodah, to serve Hashem, of Klal Yisrael. And there are those of the Chachmei Avodah who particularly dedicate themselves to the Kedusha of Moedim Uzmanim. That becomes their flag, and that's where they put their energy. And that's because it really is a reflection, that Kedusha Sashvisa, of the unique nature of the Bris Sinai that separates us from the Umma Solom. And now on to Maimer Nud Beis. And we're going to start Maimer Nud Beis by referring to a pasuk in Vayikra, towards the end of Sefer Vayikra, in Perek Chavav, pasuk Mem Beis. There's a Divrei Nechama in the middle of the Tochacha, in which the pasuk consoles Klal Yisrael by mentioning the Bris of Yaakov Avinu. Rashi explains that with regard to the five places that Yaakov Avinu's name is mentioned, Mole, the name of Elio is mentioned Chaser, meaning without the Vav at the end. In five places, says Rashi, Yaakov Avinu took a letter from his name. His name meaning the name of Elio. He took the Vav of Elio. And the Yaakov is written Mole with the Vav. And that is a collateral that forces Elio, in order to collect that collateral in return, to be the Mavaser HaGeula, to declare, to be the harbinger, declaring the ultimate redemption to the children of Yaakov Avinu. And of course, there are deeper levels here of secrets of the Torah, but we'll try to explain this a little bit. What is this whole inyan that Yaakov Avinu takes the Vav from Elio, and that becomes an Eravon, that becomes collateral in order to force the hand of Elio Kaviyachol to be the Mavaser HaGu'ula. We've discussed on many different occasions that the Torah can be understood on many different levels. For example, in the Medrash Rab, it says Shivim Panim LaTorah, 70 different ways. In Masechta Sofrim, in the Brice, it says Memtes Panim LaTorah. And elsewhere in Masechta Sofrim, it speaks about Arba Panim LaTorah, Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod. And we have a long discussion about this in Pachad Yitzchak for Shavuos. But in any event, when we speak about Pshat, and we speak about Drush, and we speak about Sod, and we'll focus our attention for the time being on Pshat and Sod for a moment, we'll come back to Drush later. We have here an example, and we've discussed on many occasions many other examples, where there's a word in Lashon Kodesh that is common to both the dimension of Chol and the dimension of Kodesh. And sometimes the fact that the very same word is used in both contexts creates a certain misnomer, a certain confusion. And here also, when we talk about Pshat and Sod, and those two words are applicable even in the secular world, in the world of Chol, as they are in the world of Kodesh, once again, we are tempted to fall into a misunderstanding. When we speak about Pshat and Sod with regard to the discipline of Chol, of things that are secular in nature, then what it really means is that there's something that's accessible on a superficial level, and Sod, on the other hand, is some sort of an entity of communication. Meaning, what Sod indicates is that a person will receive the same idea, the same pshat, as we call it, but in a concealed way. It's whispered as opposed to spoken out loud. The difference between pshat and sod in Chol, again in the secular world, only reflects on the way, the mode of communication, how the recipient hears and receives the information. And we begin to think that let's apply the same yardstick to Kedusha. And even in Kedusha, there's no great fundamental difference. There's no world or gap that separates Pshat and Sod. It's just the way it becomes revealed to us. You know, we have Torah knowledge and concepts that are given to us in a very revealed kind of way, very accessible, very understood. And then you have something which requires a lot more work in order to decipher it. And that's called Sod. There's really no difference between Pshat and Sod. They both belong to the same world, the same entity, just a question of how to access it and how to understand it. But the truth of the matter is this is not correct. And the Maral, in his Gvuras Hashem, in Perek Yud Zayin, points out that, and this is a good example of the difference between Pshat, Remez, Drush, Sod, he points out that with regard to the case of Bas Paro, and you may recall that the Pasuk doesn't mention a word about a punishment to the Naros, to those maidservants that accompanied Bas Paro when she went down to the Nile River. And yet the Chachamim say that, you know what? These girls were punished. The pasuk itself, on in pshat level, shmos base pasuk he says narosel holchos al yad hayar, and yet the gemara in sota on daf yud base omid base says shahayu holchos. What is it referring to? Not on a physical level that they were walking with her and accompanying her the basparo to the yar, but rather holchos lemisa. They went to die. Why? Because they were the ones who objected to the Bas Paro taking this child, meaning they understood that the child was a Jewish child. The word holchos, therefore, is not to be understood in the physical, you know, pshat way of holech, but rather holech b'derech kol aretz, which is a phrase that's used to refer to death. So the word holech does sometimes, for example, in Yoshua, Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Yudalid, is a reference to death. But that's on a whole different level. Says the Maral that the Misa, the actual death of the Naros of Bas Paro, was a death of Misa Al Yona. What does that mean, Misa Al Yona? So not to be taken literally as they physically died, but nistalik mem kochon umazolin legamre. The Maral identifies misel yona as a removal of their mazel. And what that does is it removes their energy force to stand up and object against the taking of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Maral adds that that's why it does the pasuk itself, the verse, doesn't indicate explicitly this story about the Naros Paro that they died, because this death is a Misel Yonah that belongs to a different world, to the world of Kochavim Mazolos. Now, we're not going to study the Maral inside, we probably should, but what we learn from the Maral is something phenomenal, something fundamental. We speak about Istakel Boraisa Ubara Alma, that the Torah is in some sense a blueprint, or if you will, a reflection of Olamos. Now, we assume that the Torah is a blueprint for this world, and that's true. But there are many, many other worlds. And we speak about Shivim Panim LaTorah. What we mean to say is that the 70 various yus or countenances or interpretations of the Torah reflect or correspond to 70 corresponding worlds. In other words, that every single nuance, every single mode of understanding the Torah is a revelation that has its source up in a higher world. That which is revealed in the Torah in the perspective, in the mode of Pshat, that's something that happened in this world down here, Kipshuto, straightforward. But something that's revealed in the Torah, B'derech Remez, for example, Pshat Remez, means it has its existence as an episode in the world of Remez. And this applies straight through for Shivim Panim LaTorah. That's what the Maral means here. So the Misa of the Naros Bas Paro, their death, means the removal of their mazel up in the higher worlds. They no longer have that spiritual power to object against Moshe Rabbeinu and counter. That event took place not in the world of Pshat, but in the world, the universe of Remez, of Drush, up in the higher worlds, because of Shivim Panim LaTorah. And each one of the Shivim Panim LaTorah, as we say, have a corresponding world up in the Elyonim. That's what the Maral is saying. If this be the case, then clearly the difference between Pshat and Sod is nothing similar to the difference between Pshat and Sod in the secular mundane world. In the secular world of Chol, all it means is how do you communicate it to a person and convey a message? Is the transmission b'derech Pshat or is the transmission b'derech Sod? But both belong to the same world. However, when we get to the dimension of Kedusha, it's not the same. What we're talking about is a Metzius, a world that has its own reality to it. The reality of one world of Pshat is not the reality of the world of Sod. He says, Derech Hagili Shalom Miyuchadu Eilav B'davka, the unique way in which the Torah conveys a message, whether it's Alpi Pshat or Alpi Sod, is indicative of the fact that B'tchum HaKdusha, Derech Pshat, or Derech Remez, Boyim Mishnei Olamas Nifradim. The episode that is conveyed through Pshat belongs to one world down here, and the episode that's conveyed through Remez, etc., belongs to a different world, at two separate worlds. And if that be the case, then all the questions that we always ask on Divrei Chachamim is because we're missing this point. Just to give an example, when it says that Chazal tell us that there was no recitation of Shira until the point that Klal Yisrael sang the Shira Alayam, and that is a statement in, let me just show you the source here, a statement in Brachos Rabbah that, I'm sorry, in Shmos Rabbah, my mistake, Perikov Gimel, that Ashlo Amru Yisrael Shira Layam Lohaya Adam Omer Shira Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all the kashas that they asked, because it says Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, and the Brachos Rabbah says that that was Adam HaRishon. He was the one who sang a song of praise to Hashem. So how can you tell me the first shir was the shir of Bnei Yisrael at the Yam, when Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos was Adam HaRishon? But the truth is that that's not a contradiction at all. The Torah doesn't reveal to us that Adam HaRishon sang a song of praise. It's not through their pshat. Ella what? It's Drush. Okay, so the event, the episode of Adam HaRishon's song of praise did not happen in the world of Pshat. It happened in the world of the Olam of Drush, which is a different world, a corresponding different world up in the heavens. And therefore Chazal say that the first Shira Al Pi Derech HaPshat, meaning in the world down here of Pshat, that was the Shira of Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara in Tainus, I think, is another example of this same Yesod. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Tainus that Yaakov Avinu lo mes. That's on Daf Hamid Beis. So the Gemara right away asks the question, Vayispidu Vayichantu. In Brachos Perek Nun, it says that they eulogized him, and not only that, they mummified him, they took his body. This is all indicative of the fact that Yaakov Avinu must have died. And the Gemara answers, Mikra ni doresh, I have a drasha, makish hu lezaro, ma zaro b'chaim af hu b'chaim. Now what's this all about? I mean, the Gemara's kasha is a very strong kasha. You can't tell me that Yaakov Avinu didn't die, and the psukim say he did die. So how do we answer this by saying Mikra ni doresh? But the answer has to be based on this maral, that it's the answer of the Gemara is a whole different kind of approach. What the Gemara wants to answer is that Vayispidu Vayichantu, that belongs to the world of Pshat. And in that world, Yaakov Avinu physically died. But what do we mean when we say Yaakov Avinu Lomes? Ah, Mikra ni Doresh. That belongs to a different world. That belongs to the world of Drash. HaTorah Gilsa Zeh Biosim HaPonim Shalah Sha'anu Korim Lahem Pshat Ponim Shal Drush. When the Torah reveals to us that Yaakov Avinu Lomes, it utilizes the mode of Drash. And what it's trying to tell us is that there's a corresponding reality and existence in the higher worlds of Drash, and in that reality, Yaakov Avinu lo mes. In that world, Yaakov Avinu didn't die. The Chanita and the Hesped of Yaakov Avinu have no relevance to the Drash. They belong to two different worlds, two different essential realities we're dealing with. One reality that corresponds to the punim of Pshat, and a second reality that corresponds to the punim of Drash. In the second reality, Yaakov Avinu lo mes. In the first reality, he was buried and he was eulogized. Again, if we have a thick approach here, you know, very concrete, then meaning that our reality, we deal only with the reality that's tangible. We only live in this world that can be sensed with our five senses, and we can slice it. It's concrete. Then enochinami, we don't understand what's going on here. There's a contradiction. But Divrei Torah have within them different modes, and they belong to different types of reality, and the existence of one reality and its essence is absolutely different than a different reality. Every reality, every mitzius, is a type, is a quality of its own. And therefore, what we're saying is that Yaakov Avinu, in one sense, died, in one sense, he didn't die. And now perhaps we can swing back to what we began with, and that is, what's the relationship between Eliyahu HaNavi And Yaakov Avinu, you know, the Vav of Elio, it's transmitted over to Yaakov to make it Mole. And the answer is that there is a corresponding reality up in Shamayim of Panim Shel Drash. Yaakov Avinu didn't die. In the reality that corresponds to the Panim Shel Pshat, Yaakov Avinu was buried and was eulogized. Here's where Eliyahu HaNavi plays an important role in what we call the Koma of Kedusha of Knesset Yisrael. Masha Irol Yaakov Avinu b'mitzius magbila l'drash, Irol Eliyahu HaNavi b'mitzius magbila l'pshat. In other words, there's a parallel here, but it's in two worlds. In the world of Pshat, with regard to Eliyahu HaNavi, Vayal Eliyahu b'sara shamayma, the Torah explicitly says that Eliyahu rose up to heaven, but he's still alive. So when we say that Eliyahu lo mes, we're talking about Pshuto Shel Mikra. With regard to Yaakov Avinu lo mes, we're talking about the drash of Ani, right? Mikra Ani Doresh Makish Hu Lizaro. So that's why Chazal combine and analogize, if you will, Yaakov and Elio. These are the two individuals, the Lomes. One doesn't die, that's Elio, in the Pshuto Shel Mikra. One dies in the Drash. I'm sorry, one doesn't die in Drash. And perhaps what this means is, for us, that Kabbalah Hi B'Yodeinu Ki Asidu Elio L'Hachil S'Samesim, when we say that in the Divrei Nevi'im, it says that Elio is going to be Mavasar Agu'ula, he will be Meshiv Levavas Albonim, Lev Bonim Alavosam. On the simple level of Pshat, on the superficial level, what this means is Hashavas Levavos is the source, it's the root of the power of Eliyahu HaNavi to be Mechaya Mesim. You're wondering, what's the source for Eliyahu that we have a Kabbalah that in the future he will be Mechaya Mesim? The Rishonim point this out, the Rif and the Ran in Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf Amid Beis, what's Mefurash in the Divrei Nevi'im, that's in Malachi Perek Gimel, at the end of Tanakh, it says, Leheshiv Levavos Albonim, something that we read just last Shabbos, just 2 days ago, for Shabbos HaGadol, and we're trying to figure out, if you will, the connection between the two, and what we're saying is, that Heshiv Levavos Albonim, which is explicit, that's already in Pshat, really is a reflection or a revelation of the power, the source of the power of Eliyahu HaNavi to be Mechaya Mesim. And he writes that Kishem Shebilashona Shel Tori Yesh Rosha Mipnim Shel Drash L'Toch HaPshat, meaning when you read a Pasuk, you see the Pshat, but you also see a question that you have in the Pshat, and that question leads you to the world of Drash, to the mode of Drash. So too, when we talk about the different realities that correspond to the various Panim Shel Torah, there is on the one end a what he calls a Roshem Limitzius Shel Drash Toch Amitzius Shel Pshat. Okay, that's a very heavy sentence. We'll try to do the best we can to decipher it. It gets a little bit obscure here at this point. Again, we're talking about the realities in the higher worlds that correspond to the various panim, the various modes of the verses of the Torah, the way they're written, the Shivim Panim LaTorah. There is a Roshem of Drash in the Pshat. What do we mean? Even though the drash is a drash, and it's not pshat, but in the reality of pshat, there is some sort of hisorus, some sort of question that leads us to drash. And so too, in the upper worlds that correspond to pshat and drash respectively, we're going to find some sort of a hint or an allusion in the world of Pshat to what's going to exist in the world of Drash. Now, when we speak about Eliyahu HaNavi, the Roshem of Drash is somehow parallel to the Yaakov Avinu. As we discussed before, the Medrash compares and connects Eliyahu HaNavi to Yaakov Avinu. I think what he's saying here in the Pachad Yitzchak is that in the context of this relationship between Yaakov and Eliyahu, Yaakov in the world that corresponds to Drash, Lomis, he didn't die, and that means Tchias HaMesim, if you will, the power of Tchias HaMesim somehow it traces itself back to Yaakov Avinu Lomis, which exists in the world of Drash, but that's going to have a direct impact on the Koach of Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi, on the level of Pshat, we said, is Lotam Tam Misu Kvura. That's the Metzius of Pshat of Eliyahu. So now Eliyahu really can play this very, very interesting role as bringing together the Chai Ovos with the Chai Bonin, right? Veheshiv Levavos Al Bonin. In a sense, Eliyahu Avinu is stretching his arm out to the world of Yaakov Avinu in the Metzius of Drash, the world of Lomes, and he's able to connect that world and that Koach with the Bonim, Veheshiv Levavos Al Bonim, so they will experience the Lomes. The Lomes means the Tchias HaMesim. That's where Eliyahu HaNavi plays the critical role. So what does it mean, Hashavas Lev Avos, the Lev Bonim? How is that related specifically to Eliyahu? What we're talking about is, he calls it Hispashtus Nekudas Chaya Avos Al Pnei Chaya Bonim. Taking that Nekuda of the Chaya Avos, in this case specifically of Yaakov Avinu, and bringing it down into the realm, the dimension of Chaya Bonim. When we talk kach, and therefore kshaliyo ba, enu ba el lekarev lechaber uli ached es achaim shal mikra anidoresh im achaim shal pshuto shal mikra. He's taking the mikra anidoresh of Yaakov Avinu. If you recall that through that mikra anidoresh, we decided that in the world of Yaakov Avinu there was no misa, and he's applying that into, injecting it into the pshuto shal mikra that he himself personifies of a low mess, because in Pshuta, in the world of Pshuta Shal Mikra, Eliyahu is not subject to death. And this is what Eliyahu HaNavi is going to do. He's going to take the Yaakov Avinu low mess of the world of Mikra Nidoresh, and he's going to extend it to Zaro Shal Yaakov. And he's able to do so because he himself in the world of Pshat lives in Lomes, in that Lomes. He, Eliyahu, is therefore going to be the Mavaser Agula and bring about Tchias HaMesim, because his connection to Yaakov Avinu Al Pidrush, which parallels his world of Pshat, of Lomes, allows him, Veheshiv Levavos Al Bonim, to take that Nekud of the Chayavos and apply it to the Bonim. And that is going to shed a light on the Hashavas HaLevavos of Eliyahu HaNavi, which is explicit in the Navi, and that is the Tchias HaMesim. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to bring about the Tchias HaMesim, as we discussed earlier. And if this be the case, we begin to understand why the Chachamim say that Eliyahu comes to be Mavarer Psulei HaMishpacha. And that is a Mishnah in Edios, in the 8th Perek. And what does that mean? And by the way, I apologize, I forgot to mention that when we quoted that phrase of Ishlot Shalotam Tam Misu Kvura regarding Elio, that comes from the Zmiros of Motzei Shabbos. I don't know if you are knowing those Zmiros, but in any event, the Iske Mishpacha, which means to determine the relationship between the fathers and the children, that belongs specifically to the realm of Elio. And now we begin to understand the Vav of Eliyahu, which is Vav HaMachaber, that's the Os of Chibur. As long as the, what he calls the Dmus of Elio, the character of Elio, or the vision of Elio, is only a Roshem of Chai Avos, B'toch Chai Bonim. In other words, the Mitzius of the Drash of Lomes in Yaakov Avinu has not yet connected to the Mitzius of the Pshat of the Bonim. The Os HaChibur in the name of Elio is actually borrowed, so to speak, or shall we say put into custody in the hands of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is going to demand that Chibur of Elio, which will allow Elio to connect Yaakov Avinu's Lomes to the world of Pshat, the Yaakov Avinu of the world of Drash, to the Bonim in the level of Pshat, and Poshim B'machayim Mesim. Only when Elio is ready to be Mavasa the Geula to the Bonim Shel Yaakov, when at that point the power of Elio and Avi will be revealed to connect the Avos with Bonim, and then the demand of Yaakov Avinu will have been realized and would have been removed, then Yaakov Avinu no longer needs to hold on to that Vav HaMachaber that connects the world of the Avos with the world of the Bonim, because that already became realized in Pshat, in the world of Pshat, through Trias HaMesim. Ube'emes, he says, Yishtana Shmo Yisrael. When Yaakov Avinu will undergo a complete, total transformation, in which his name Yaakov is replaced totally and absolutely by the name Yisrael, there's no Vav, is Memela Tishtamet Oz Zubim Koma. There's no longer need for Yaakov to hold on to the Vav. Yaakov's Vav will now return to Elio, because Elio has paid up his chov. He has connected the Vav HaMachaber. He has done the chibur of Avos to Bonim. The name of Yaakov will be Yisrael. Within the context of the name Yisrael, there's no chisaron of the Os Chibur. There's no longer need for Yaakov to hold on to the Vav. The name Elio will now be crowned with the Vav of Chibur. Hine Anochi Sholech Lachem Es Elio Anavi Veheshiv Levavos Al Bonim Velev Bonim Al Avosam. That is the source for the Trias HaMesim. That's when Elio Anavi will fulfill his responsibility, his task, his role to connect the Avos with the Bonim, the Avos of Drash with the Bonim of Pshat, the Avos of Yaakov Avinu Lomes with the Pshat of Tchias HaMesim, Shetovo HaGeula with Bias Elio HaNavi B'Meir of Yomenu Amen.